Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about the Einstein refrigerator. Now, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to tell you exactly how this refrigerator works, but I've been able to get some information. But it's by a combination of Einstein with Leo Szilard. Now, Leo Szilard, his former student, sounds very much like the Szilard who worked with Einstein much later to urge him to write to the United States and start the atomic age. And so this is interesting that the fridge itself is not important, but the connection, the long-term connection with Einstein is important, I think. So let's read the Wikipedia article, and then I'll add a bit of wisdom that I can add to it, because refrigerators without moving parts is the field of Peltier, or is that Saddleback? Thermocouples and Thomson refrigerators, they're all things using quantum mechanical effects, and he's going to do it without quantum mechanics. And of course, this is a real brain teaser. How could anyone possibly try and do it? Now, let's read it. The Einstein refrigerator. Of course, there's very few Einstein refrigerators at the moment. Einstein Szilard. So Szilard, I think, has to be this student who came to Einstein to get him to write to the United States. Or Einstein refrigerator is an absorption refrigerator which has no moving parts. Operates at constant pressure and requires only a heat source to operate. So, it's beyond me. I can't see how it operates. I can't see what is going on here and how it operates. So, it was jointly invented by Albert Einstein and his former student, Leo Szilard, who patented it in the US on November 11th, 1930. This is an alternative design for the original invention of the 1922 by the Swedish inventors Baltzar von Platen and Karl Munter. So, how it works, I don't think we're going to get into it. Because, I find it amazing. From 1926 to 1934, Einstein and Szilard collaborated on ways to improve the home refrigeration technology. The two were motivated by contemporary newspaper reports of a Berlin family who had been killed when the seal in their refrigerator, so refrigerators weren't the same as we knew, failed, leaked toxic fumes into their home. Einstein still had proposed that a device without moving parts would eliminate the potential for seal failure. Can I say there's various things. There's in here, there's cooling water, warm ammonia, something or other, water, depleted water, cool ammonia, ammonia water solution, moist ammonia gas, butane ammonia in liquid, butane ammonia vapor. Now, how this works, I just can't see. And there's no pumps out, so I can't see how it works. Einstein used the experience he had gained during his years at the Swiss Patent Office to apply for valid patents for the invention in several countries. There are two eventually granted 45 patents in their names for three different models. So that's 15 patents each. It has been suggested that most of the actual inventing was performed by Szilard, while Einstein merely acting as a consultant helping with the patent-related paperwork. But others assert Einstein labored over the project. Now, my thing is that you've got Einstein's family, it's sort of like it's this drift back to practical problems that the Einsteins were in the present day. So a few demonstration units were constructed from other patents. Okay. The refrigerator was not immediately put to commercial production, the most promising of their patents being quickly bought up by the Swedish company Electrolux. Einstein settled that earned $750 equivalent to $10,000 today. A few demonstration units were constructed from other patents. In September 2008, it was reported that Malcolm McCulloch of Oxford University was heading a 3-year project to develop a more robust appliances that could be used in locales lacking electricity, and his team had completed a prototype. He was quoted as saying that improving the design and changing the types of gases might allow design deficiencies to be contributed. A similar refrigeration device proposed by Atom Grosser in the TED Talk 2008, but has not made it into production as of 2015. So, this is a type, and I can tell you that there's a series of interconnecting areas here with ammonia solutions, cooling brackets, an evaporator. I can't really see how it works. Okay. In 2016, Will Broadway won the James Dyson Award for a vaccine cooler based on this technology. Many vaccines require refrigeration to remain active, and the lack of infrastructure to maintain a cool chain of reliably bringing the vaccine into. More remote areas of developing countries poses a serious challenge to national immunization. Programs, and I'll quickly see if I can look up to get a deeper thing. I'll pull up the actual US patent from 1926 if I can pull it up, and have a read of it to see if I can understand it. Dare I say the system? I mean, it sounds as though we would have developed this as before freons. So you can imagine freons completely destroying their market. But also, so it's got ammonia, which has got a huge heat capacity, ammonia mixing in water, and ammonia mixing in butane, and water and butane. So there's obviously different solubilities in here and a cooling reaction. Now, a lot of reactions, a lot of chemical reactions can freeze. But all chemical reactions increase entropy. Okay, that's all, but there are chemical reactions which freeze. So if I can give you a few freezing chemical reactions, one brilliant freezing chemical reaction is there's lots of, that's exothermic, there's also endothermic reactions that, it's, you know, these reactions, because they increase entropy, it's sort of very hard to control entropy without introducing some sort of mechanical component for it. So one is sodium sulfate and sodium bicarbonate. So copper sulfate and sodium bicarbonate. You mix the two together, that forms a beautiful froth and freezes. Now, anything which actually produces a gas in chemical reaction really lowers the temperature. Anything where the product really falls apart. It's hard to say. Obviously, if you think of water, it's of oxygen and hydrogen burning, you produce just water at the end, so that's in terms of the number of molecules going down. But anything which, I really don't know of any endothermic. So there are some chemical reactions which cool things, so I can't see how they could cool effectively. For all the efforts, they one of the things I think it's got more historical significance of actually. And being that these two people got together on a fridge, and then when the fridge was over, they went and helped build an atomic bomb. How things go ahead. Okay, thanks for listening. I'll keep on looking forward. I'm back after doing a little bit more research. So, indeed, the Einstein, Leo Szilard relationship, which is built up over fridges, and earned the pair $750, which is $10,000 for their patent. Now, bear in mind there was a whole lot of fridges in this space, typical fridge we know nowadays, which has got the mechanical pumps and the Freon and all that type of stuff, was taking hold. So this has had a sort of renaissance here. And this meant that his Einstein student knew him well enough to be out there and actually recommend the development of the US nuclear bomb program. So it's really interesting that this side issue came across. Now, how does a system work if it doesn't have a gas at multiple pressures? Well, the major thing is that you have to have a situation where the gas, evaporates, it's basically a closed system evaporative coolant. So the ones that I can understand, I've had a quick look, they're called absorption refrigerants, and Einstein's design, or the USA's, had a three-component system somehow to get around the problems, and used back then ammonium, with the heat, gets a very high pressure, and there's a story of an ammonia cell on top of ANU which blew up and shattered all the windows in the research school, and the ammonia bottle flew and landed on the motorway in front of the science minister. So he was aware of what was going on, but successful contacts all covered that up, and it's sort of only people who were there tell the story. It's not a written official story. So although you may remove seals, you also mean that you've got ammonia, high pressure ammonia gas. Now, this is how this essential thing goes. When ammonia gas comes out, it dissolves rather well in water. So if you have some water, some ammonia gas, what it will do is, if you've got liquid ammonia, it will, and you have a water in the system, the water will actually start to absorb the ammonia and the system will chill down. So basically, if you have liquid ammonia and liquid water in the same vessel, and you start off, just pour both in, seal the lid, the system will cool down. What you can then do is, after it's cooled down, you've now got a mixture of a lot of ammonia and water. Now, to reverse it, you heat the water up and the ammonia gets driven off as a gas, and then it's as a high pressure gas, and that ammonia has to go through a sequence of it's at high pressure, it's high temperature, you then cool it, so the ammonia goes as a pure liquid and the water goes as a pure liquid separate. And over another period of time, it recombines and cools down as it goes through. The ammonia starts to evaporate off into the liquid water. So that's a cool absorption heater. Now, we're told by something rather grosser that this system, the Americans have found a better substance to do it with and can make a little... basically like a billy. You heat the billy up, and when it heats up, the refrigerant turns into a gas, and turns into a gas, it is very hot, and then you cool it down you let the heat escape, and then over a period of, so heat it up for half an hour, let it cool for 1 hour, and the next 23 hours it can cool basically an esky to freezing point in its whole area. And that's because you've got the high pressure gas. The high pressure gas is condensing, bonding into a liquid. Normally that would just stop, but that liquid has been drawn away by absorption in there. Now, there's lots of things. There's also versions of that with just water and lithium bromide. And one of the things is that salt definitely absorbs water. So you can generate pure water by boiling the your salty water, you produce very high pressure, high temperature stuff. That system, the water will then condense again, and as the steam condenses, the temperature, as the water, high pressure water evaporates, it evaporates, and the water pressure is kept down by dissolving into the salt. So that's how the overall cycle works. Now, let us go into this overall process. There are quantum mechanical versions of these which are bloody efficient, and continuous versions of it. And now, one of these engines where heat goes in and gets converted to another form is the solar cell. Another form is the thermoelectric effect. And that's what I'm going to talk about in the next episode, is some of these other heat engines. And I think people have very little knowledge of this, and sort of why do we want to keep things cool. And this sorption heater means that you can use this process to take reused low-grade waste heat and turn it into cooling, which is sort of a very efficient thing to do. So, you know, one of the things I'm thinking about is that so at the moment we use it, it's called cogeneration. So you heat, generate electricity, use the excess heat to heat water, and then after that, the excess heat then to heat sorption coolants. So you can also, you sort of can keep on taking energy out. So it's actually efficient to pump gas into an area and have a local area to produce electricity, and then a local area to produce heating, and then after that to produce cooling. You can get all those three steps at the thermodynamic pie to extract heat out, whereas if you just use heat for electricity, it's wham bam, it's gone at that point. So it's sorption cooling, and it's sort of interesting that you're looking into this overall principle of a process that operates like this. It has a definite quantum mechanical endpoint, and it is not that the quantum mechanical understanding is a fancy thing. It's actually highly central to our understanding of our own world. And so it's really highly central to understanding the conduction of heat in metals is an important aspect, and that's done by quantum mechanics. And there's this displacement theory that people initially tell you a metal, it's shaking jostling atoms next to it, and the heat transfers that way. Now, that may be a model, and you can put that in a model as a pie chart for how much that actually conducts heat as a pie chart, and it's probably 1% of heat conduction is done that way. It's done by internal radiation and by the Fermi surface, quantum mechanical Fermi surface, both quantum mechanical things steeped in quantum mechanics. So what happens is that we've got a bias for the easy to imagine explanation, but that bias does not bear out in reality. And what's the purpose of it? Nothing, if you allow bias explanations and bias testing. Yeah, that's a closed system, but reality is a little bit different from that. And it also means that we're not so open to actually understanding how various things work. I'll get back onto you soon and do the next episode on quantum mechanical cooling, which is the Peltier is the cooling, the Selbeck effect, or the thermocouple, is the sort of heat into electricity rather than electricity into cooling and heating, and the Thompson heat engines, which
is the sort of the stuff of how you actually get things down to absolute zero. But besides that, it really gets into the basics of why copper and silver are such excellent conductors. So it's like it's a differential temperature gradient thermocouple cell, and that really explains about heating. So I know this is going to be damn impossible for people listening to this to understand it. So essentially, let's go over it again. The Einstein, was Szilard person, student, worked on refrigerants, and he was the person that tipped off Einstein, who used the Einstein celebrity to launch America into the atomic age. That's one point. They worked on basic absorption refrigerants, which required no separate chambers, but required different phases of things, and their thing had a 3-stage phase. I don't know how efficient it was. I don't think they've ever built one per se. And this operates by you heat up a mixture, the mixture separates, then the mixture, one of the gaseous part condenses cooling, and then that condensing is removed, not by mechanical pump, by absorption. Very important aspect to go through there. Then the final point is saying, look, this is a generic principle, which has got huge quantum mechanical implications, which gives you different devices, but also gets you insight into how heat is transported within metals. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.